Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and I'm really excited about talking to Paul Burton. He's the Managing Director of TNG. If you don't know who TNG are, they've got a very large critical minerals project up in the Northern Territory. But the reason I brought Paul on today is they've come out with an announcement about moving their processing facility. We're going to get into that in a minute. But Paul, great to see you. It's been a little while since I've had a chat to you.
Indeed, it has. Good to see you too, Kerry.
Well, thank you, because I know how busy you've been. But before we get stuck into today's announcement, can you just give our listeners an overview of who are TNG? ASX code, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, TNG, nice and easy.
Yeah, TNG, we've been developing the Mount Peak project in the middle of the Northern Territory for the last few years. And it's now at the most advanced stage of any of these critical mineral type deposits. We have offtakes in place. We have a good German engineering group doing all the final engineering for us. We have major project status from the federal government and the Northern Territory government, and a lot of support for getting this project up and running. And we have our own processing, which we patented, called Tivan. And we believe this will be the process of choice for the future of companies that have these types of deposits. So the future is looking bright for the company.
Future's looking bright, but you've come out with an announcement today, and I want to dig into that a little bit, that in that Tivan facility is you've moved the processing plant from its original location. So, Paul, just explain why the change, because and what impact does that have? Does that slow things down a little bit in terms of development?
Yeah, first of all, Kerry, I'd just like to make point out that the decision to move is not based on anything to do with the Northern Territory Government or the Northern Territory okay. Environmental Protection Agency. Factors have come into our overall review. In fact, we triggered a review earlier in the year as a result of re-looking at Mount Peak. And I say re-looking at Mount Peak as an integrated site because it was originally considered that we would have the process plant down there, have everything down there. There were two hurdles at that stage. One was enough water, which we assessed that there wasn't enough water for a combined process and beneficiation plant at that time. Okay. And the other one was gas, that our engineers at the time advised that they didn't think there was enough gas in that existing pipeline for the process plant as it was then. What's happened over the last 12 to 18 months is that we've been doing the FEED for the project, which is the next one after a feasibility before you get into your project finance. So as I say, we're very advanced. This FEED was being done by the SMS group in Germany with our engineers and consultants here as well. And during the FEED process, we first of all managed to optimize the plant to a degree where we had the minimum amount of gas requirements that we possibly could. So that was a good. So we reduced our overall requirement. And as we're in the FEED, we wanted to get a full handle on the costings of the gas, the availability of gas, and what price, et cetera, and contracts we might place. So we had an expert consultant who deals with gas nationwide look at our project, look at all the availability. And they advised there wasn't indeed enough gas in that pipeline and of the right quality to take on a complete integrated facility. So that was an interesting result out of the FEED. Mm-hmm. During the environmental process last year, we addressed some stakeholders' concerns of raw water runoff going into Darwin Harbour by including into our plant a water recycling process. Now, obviously, this added to the capex, but it resolved the issues, environmental issues, which of course is foremost within our company for development of a big project like this. So that solved the water recycling water issue. So when you then put both those factors into a review of the whole Mount Peak site. The two previous hurdles that prevented us from having an integrated facility there have been solved. So that clearly came out when we did our review. And then when we looked at the permitting potential for Darwin to take a bit longer than having one down an integrated facility down at Mount Peak, this is what really, really focused our attention and made us make the move. The other thing that's very important is with the feed study that's been done, it really doesn't matter where the site is located. We can use a lot of that engineering data down at Mount Peak, so that work doesn't have to be redone where we're just moving that location. In fact, having a mine that feeds directly into a beneficiation plant, which feeds directly into the downstream processing,
yep,
is only a massive increase in efficiency and lowering our costs overall. So that's an extremely important view. Although the Darwin land site was very, very promising, it did have its challenges, and yeah, we were working through those. But having triggered this review, and in that review, we looked at a number of aspects, which we've identified in the announcement today. And indeed, we looked at other potential locations as well. But you cannot get away from having an integrated facility at the mine site where you're producing the concentrate as the most efficient and cost-effective way of producing the high-value products that we will be.
I mean, so, I'm just a simple country girl, Paul, but it seems to me it makes a whole lot of sense. And there must be some cost savings in moving the facility to be at site, so to speak.
Well, absolutely. I mean, first of all, you're not building two plants now, exactly, a big plant in Darwin and a big plant down there. And this was always a challenge. It was always the case. And we were always trying to look at how we can integrate everything at Mount Peak. And I think it wasn't until we got to the feed stage, and then I suppose to some degree, the environmental process actually helped that as well by introducing, we never thought about a water treatment plant in the past to overcome the water potential shortage down at the mine site. So there we are. It's interesting how things come up. Now, with respect to timing,
yep,
yes, of course, there's going to be some additional work that we need to do. But look, we're rapidly onto it. We know the mine site extremely well. Our environmental consultants do. The EPA do. We have an environmental license down there already. We can just build on that to integrate the plant. The mining license, importantly, down there is very large and has enough room for a processing plant, and in fact is a license for us to mine, beneficiate and process. So the license itself is very, very prominent, good for us. We also cut out a lot of logistical costs by having a rail running up and down to Darwin and bringing waste back. Because the other challenge that we had with the water was that although we solved the water problem, what we introduced was another problem of waste.
Yeah.
When we filtered the water, we produced a lot of waste. Although it's benign, it has to go somewhere. And so that was a logistical challenge too. So it overcomes all of that.
And to me, it seems like it's a much more logical way to do it. How far down the track were you with the Darwin processing facility, and what will happen with that land and that area at the moment?
Well, we were quite advanced with respect to design, because the layouts of the plant was being based on that land configuration in Darwin. But as I say, that can just be principally moved into a much more optimized linear plants down the mine site. The land there, interestingly enough, is still very much of interest to TNG.
Oh.
We have been announcing recently a separate business model of green hydrogen production, and we've gone into a joint venture with the Malaysian group, who are very advanced with their own system called HySustain.
Okay.
AGV High Sustain. They're very advanced. They have big offtake agreements with Asian countries, including Japan. They really wanted a partner in Australia. I personally knew two of the directors, and so it fitted into our overall plan, because building a big project like this in today's environmental concerns, you have to have plans for being a net zero carbon producers. So
yeah,
green hydrogen is one of the ways for us to go. So what we hope, and we have not gone into this blind, that with NT government, we have had provisional discussions and advised about our wishes. Hopefully that land will be available for us to have the first ever high sustain green hydrogen plant in the country.
Wow.
That plant will be for export. So it dovetails in with what's existing happening in on that middle arm precinct. Already they're exporting liquefied natural gas to Japan.
Yep.
But also for the local market. And indeed, we expect to have a green hydrogen facility powering part of our plant down at the mine site, because we have plenty of room for solar panels to provide the energy input for green hydrogen production. So yes, that land, we're sort of moving a project out of Darwin, but we're bringing another one in.
That's an extra value add for shareholders. And has the market, has this been a little bit on the quiet, Paul? Because I haven't picked up on this, and I'm just wondering, is this added value for shareholders? Because you've got Mount Peak, you've got the vanadium, you've got the processing facility, et cetera, but the green hydrogen, that wasn't in the original plans, I don't think.
Absolutely not. No, and you're absolutely right. I think it is a huge value add, and it hasn't really been picked up. I think principally because earlier in the year we did have this surprise, as it were, from the NTEPA about some more work to be done on the Darwin site, and that we've been working through that. And I think that created a bit of a, you know, we're treading water a bit from a shareholder perspective. There wasn't a lot to announce. There wasn't a lot for us to do while we work through this whole review. Big team of engineers behind me looking at all aspects of, and some external consultants, all aspects of the project and location of the plants. So yeah, I think it has been missed, but look, which is why we haven't done interviews like this either, Kerry, because there's...
Yes, you have been a little bit quiet, Mr. Burton.
Yes, which is unlike me. So usually we would be marking the path forward very, very vocally and clearly in many different avenues. But until we had made this decision, which I think has been a while coming, but we had to really tick all the boxes before we came out and made today's announcement.
So a challenge at the beginning of the year is turned into a double opportunity with the moving of the plant, which is giving you some cost savings and all that logistical elements and all those sorts of things. It's becoming a much more, I guess, a cohesive proposition down there. But then, of course, and then you've managed to find a partner for the green hydrogen to use with the Darwin facility. I don't think the market understands exactly what you've done, and maybe it's because you have been a little bit quiet, but I'm excited to have you on here today to talk about that. Before we get into the last little bits though, Paul, what are the commodity markets like at the moment for vanadium? Are they strong?
Very strong. And vanadium prices tripled, I think, since the start of the year. There's a paucity of vanadium deposits coming on stream. And I would like to say that ours is one of the most advanced, albeit that we still have these permitting challenges, but we're getting through them. Most advanced in the world coming on. So there is significant demand for vanadium, both from traditional areas of steel making and high quality steels.
Right.
These days that you can talk about green steel, where you can have the green energy, but also you want less and less coal and other additives going into the steel to make the steel. And the more vanadium you have, the less iron ore and everything else that you need as well. So that makes a change from its traditional use. But also the vanadium redox batteries, which we've always been banging the drum on, and indeed, I know it's probably for another interview, we have a very strong business case for our vanadium redox batteries, and we have a partner in Singapore now that can supply the batteries called B-Flow. And this will tie in with our green hydrogen facility, I think. So it's very strong, because although you might have green an alternative energy is coming up, you still need to be able to store it, and that you need large storage batteries. Lithium's got its own part in the sector and going very strong. In my honest opinion, you're going to see vanadium take the same path as lithium on this.
Paul, you've done a lot of work, and I will say this about you, you're very thorough. What can investors look towards between now and the end of the year? And that's number one. And number two, when is it likely that you might be getting into production? Because I know you've got plenty of cash at the moment, but we've got to talk funding, not for this interview. We'll do that next time. But give us a view of what's going to the news flow coming up. And when do you think you might be in production?
I can see a very strong news flow coming up, certainly between now and the end of the year, as we we solidify the position down at Mount Peak. We will engage an Australian, a tier one Australian engineering group to assist, because we have the battle with COVID at the moment as well, because SMS can't get a team in to advance their work. So we've had to discuss and negotiate the various things there as well. But so good strong news flow. Moving into production, well, if all the stars aligned, I would see that we should be financed hopefully by the end of next year. Possibly second half of next year, we could actually start seeing some work on the mine site itself, subject to permitting and everything else. You then have a 2-year construction period. But interestingly enough, it's actually going to be much shorter. It might be much shorter now. That was what we always had at the Darwin site.
Oh, yes, because of the moving the facility.
We'll be building it all at the same time.
Just got to put the pedal to the metal and all that stuff. Well, we're running out of time, Paul. Everyone knows the way I like to finish these. A lot of investors interested in what you're doing at TNG. What are three reasons? Now, I've already come up with one, because I wasn't aware of the green hydrogen part. I was always looking at Mount Peak and the vanadium and all that sort of stuff. But I'll leave it up to you. Give me three reasons why investors should be sitting up and taking notice right now.
Well, I think the first thing is that we are a very large advanced project of critical minerals. So critical minerals exposure, and we're very advanced. One of the largest projects in the country with all federal approvals, federal major project status and Northern Territory major project status. So a lot of support to get this up. So it is a project that's going to happen. Secondly, I mean, the green hydrogen is another aspect that I think is of huge topical interest at the moment, and we're there. We actually have a pathway forward for that. Finally, I think, look, there's no doubt that we are undervalued at the moment. Well, very much so. Our market cap is hovering around 100 million.
Right.
The NPV of the project's economics has not changed. It's still NPV of around about 3 billion Australian dollars. There's a massive disconnect there between our market cap and that. So the value of the company now, and then the future value, is not being recognized.
Yeah, that's big numbers. 100 million market cap and a 3 billion NPV. I'm going, well, that tells me that there's a disconnect of some sort there, Paul. So
yeah. And we're at the bottom of the mountain, so it's only going to go one way. So
You're certainly doing the work to get it there. I'm excited about your green hydrogen JV. That sounds exciting. I want to come back and talk to you more about that when we next catch up. But well done. And I really, some people might look at it and think that moving that processing facility, oh, there must be a problem. Actually, it's brilliant, because it just brings everything together. And I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I'm assuming there'll be cost savings associated with that as well. So congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Well done. It's all very exciting news, and I'm really pleased I managed to catch you today. Paul, thanks so much for joining me on Small Caps.
Very welcome, Kerry. Good to see you. Thanks very much.
Great to see you.